The ALP decision to abstain from the UN vote, how significant do you think that is?
In terms of Palestinians themselves, in terms of what's happening in Palestine itself, virtually nothing. In terms of Australian political life, it is important. I mean, the sad reality is, of course, that abstaining from something which the vast, vast bulk of the world supported makes Australia incredibly isolated. But within the ALP, for a number of years, there has been a blindly pro-Israel perspective, which is exactly the same in the Liberal Party, really. The Greens, the only major party where there's a bit of dissent on that view.
So why has the ALP changed its position, particularly given under Bob Carr?
Indeed. Well, I guess there's two quick reasons. One, there are changing demographics in Australia, and we have to remember that although the Jewish community, the Jewish establishment has been very powerful for many years, the Muslim community, which is far larger, has not been as, I would say, successful politically at putting their arguments across to the political elites. That is now shifting. And I think there's also a sense that in the last few years, a number of things the Israeli government has done, keeping on building settlements, Gaza conflict, which although on the face of it many politicians support, you see across the world increasing disquiet with that kind of behaviour, including in Europe. So, again, I think it would be wrong to say this is a major sea change at all. It's not. But I'm hoping that at least opens up a wider debate about what Israel's doing to the Palestinians.
What about Bob Carr's decision to call in the Israeli ambassador over settlements? Did that surprise you?
Look, it was welcome. The problem, of course, is that when Israel in the last years continues to expand colonies, there has sometimes been varying degrees of supposed outrage from countries around the world. But the truth of the matter is that unless it goes beyond that, unless it goes beyond harsh words, and in my view there should be sanctions put on Israel by a range of countries, Israel will continue doing as it wants because it has America has its back in the UN and in the international community.
Now, the vote at the UN on observer status was quite overwhelming, 138-9. Does that represent a big shift in your mind or not?
Well, interestingly enough, the vast majority of votes in the United Nations about Palestine, remarkably, it doesn't get much press in Australia, are roughly along those lines. The significant difference about this vote was that a number of countries that have either generally been very supportive of Israel were far more critical, either voted yes to Palestinian the position of the UN, or they at least abstained. And Australia, of course, was part of that. But most significantly were many countries in Europe who, although rhetorically often have been quite critical of Israeli behaviour, on the ground they still very much support Israeli behaviour. So the numbers in the UN are fairly normal, but the importance were the countries that did come out and were far more critical. And we've seen in the last short while, since the recent announcement of more colonies in the West Bank and East Jerusalem by Israel, the EU is at least talking much more strongly. But again, we got to the stage after colony expansion for literally 4.5 decades, that simply wrapping Israel over the knuckles is not good enough anymore. There needs to be some kind of concrete action.
Of course, Israel says that the vote at the UN is counterproductive and will actually set back any move toward the peace process. What would your response to that be?
Well, the response is clearly that there is no peace process. I mean, one of the things that's very clear, anyone who looks at this issue, as I have for many years, is that there's an illusion of a peace process. And the peace process provides cover, political and practical cover, for Israel and indeed other countries, particularly the US, to continue to support expanded settlements. So one can talk about talking, one can talk about bringing parties to the table, etc., etc. The reality is, for many, many years, Israel has a complete addiction to colonies. And the great tragic irony for the Israeli position, I don't feel this myself, but the stated Israeli position, the stated Western position, the US has it, we have it, Europe has it, is a two-state solution, Palestinian state and Israeli Jewish state. The fact of the matter is that on the ground in Palestine, it is now impossible to have a contiguous Palestinian state. So the continual colony expansion by Israel is actually making its stated goals impossible. Now, of course, Israel has no desire for a two-state solution. They want to keep on colonizing as long as they can. But the great tragedy for blind supporters of Israel is that unless they speak out more critically, and that includes Australia, in Israeli and against Israeli behavior, they will find in the next years, as there is now globally, a growing realization that a two-state solution is over. The practical realities have made that the case, so the alternatives for Israel and a Jewish state are very, very unappealing.
Colin Rubenstein from the Australian Israel Jewish Affairs Council says that the reaction to the settlement announcement was over the top, and he says that only 2% of Palestinian land is settlements.
Well, that's fundamentally untrue, and the reality is that what the colonies have done since 1967, since they began in the West Bank, is very cleverly break up the West Bank like Swiss cheese. So yes, having spent a lot of time there, there are vast tracts of land which have nothing there, they're relatively empty. But in any kind of contiguous Palestinian state, you need to have connections between various Palestinian villages. That is now basically close to impossible. And we also should remember, and listeners should be aware, that whenever one hears in the press spokespeople who claim to speak for the Jewish community or the Zionist lobby, they are speaking for the Israeli government. They are putting forward a position which is echoing blindly the Israeli government. And I would say that there are a great number of Jews in Australia and the US and the West who fundamentally oppose, including me, what Israel is doing, and they resent being almost represented without their consent by individuals or groups who claim to speak for the Jewish community and Jews.